Hello, this is Tara Marsden. My Gitsan name is Nefgink, and I work with the Gitnyaw Hereditary Chiefs as well as other consulting work on lands and resources issues in the northwest of BC, and I live in Hazelton.
Excellent. Thanks so much for speaking with me. I was wondering if you could tell me about Gitnyaw's call for a full cost accounting of all greenhouse gas emissions related to the Prince Rupert Gas Transmissions Pipeline in 2014. And how the Salism's projects reneged on this call?
Sure. So Gitnyaw has been reviewing these projects for a while, as you said, since 2014. And there's two proposed pipelines at that time. It now looks like PRGT held by TC Energy is sort of the front runner, as it has an agreement with Salism's LNG terminal. And what we called for back then was avoiding what's now being called project splitting. And so when there's claims that LNG is going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions globally by getting places in Asia off of coal as a source of energy, they are making those claims by looking at projects in isolation. And so now that the Prince Rupert Gas Transmission Project is linked to Salism's, as opposed to what was proposed before, which was the Leelu Island Terminal, we would like to scope in Salism's into our overall assessment. And we would really call on other levels of government, the province and the federal government, because they have these commitments, these targets for greenhouse gas emission reductions, to look at the same type of assessment, not project splitting, but looking at the entire scope associated with gas extraction, production, shipping, and transportation.
What are the areas of concern or problematic or misleading characterization of climate impacts that you've noted on the project?
The first one is the project splitting, and so understanding Yep. things as a whole. The other is the mitigation approaches. And so they're relying on these uncertain frameworks. And this is very common in Crown-led assessments, is that there's always a future-looking promises. And so the mitigation measures aren't well described currently. That this project is likely going to jeopardize both provincial and federal climate targets. And that this is something that, you know, these, even though these are crown targets, Gitnyaw supports these through our own WILP sustainability assessment process, because they are a starting place for reducing overall greenhouse gas emissions. One of these mitigation or ways that they propose to get to net zero for Salism's is to connect to the hydroelectricity grid. And so that, again, relies on available power. It may be power that is diverted from other needs and other community needs, especially in our region. And so there's just a lot of things that haven't been, I would say, worked out yet. And we also are looking at the fisheries component of this project. And so when the pipeline was proposed to go to Leelu Island, we learned about the significant habitat that was going to be impacted by the terminal. And in that case, it was the Skeena estuary. And as our salmon are migrating out from the rivers, they are quite sensitive. They're juveniles. They're sort of like teenagers. And they are transitioning from freshwater to saltwater. And they really are at a vulnerable life stage. And so in that case, the evidence brought forward was significant enough in terms of impacts that Leelu Island was eventually protected by the Port of Prince Rupert and is no longer being explored as an LNG terminal site. We don't know as much about the Nass estuary, but we're looking at the fisheries assessments done by the proponents so far. And in the area, the project area, they have found a number of juvenile salmon, including all species of salmon, caught during their test surveys and caught during that time where they would likely be transitioning from the freshwater to the saltwater. So we're looking at a need for genetic analysis. And so Gitnyaw is upriver. So we're not talking about this being our territory. This is Nisga'a territory that they're proposing to develop. But we have upriver impacts because those salmon will migrate as adults up to spawn in our territory in the mid and upper Nass. And so we harvest salmon as adults, around 10,000 pieces per year of sockeye, and the Chinook are actually threatened. And so they did find juvenile Chinook in the project area. And there's just a big concern, I think, about the risk that it poses to salmon. Sockeye are doing quite well currently, but the Chinook are in a real serious state of decline and potential extinction in future years. And so we're looking at both of those pieces for this project.
The salmon and the livelihood of salmon was a big part of the WILP sustainability assessment process. Are there other elements to that process that you can share as well?
Sure. So our WILP sustainability assessment process was developed by our hereditary chiefs and our staff. And we are trying to run a parallel process, essentially. We've participated in many Crown or colonial government environmental assessments, and they have really been found wanting in terms of sustainability and the ability to say no. Most of these projects, once they're in an environmental assessment process with the Crown, they end up getting approved. It's just a matter of what mitigation measures or what conditions are put in an environmental certificate. But we would like, in accordance with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, we would like the ability to say yes or no to projects that have an impact, a potential impact to Gitniau and our territories and the resources that may migrate through our territories. So we can scope and only look at those things that affect Gitniau. And so in this case, as I mentioned, it's the climate, the connection to the pipeline, as well as potential fisheries impacts to upriver resources that we utilize and harvest each year. Mm-hmm. Just on the fisheries, I did want to mention that whether you are Gitniau or Nishka or anyone who may rely on fisheries, and there are others like Lac-O-Lams and some Gitsan Wilp who have territory in the Nass as well, that this project, Xelisms, would potentially destroy 25,000 meters squared of marine habitat, of fish, identified fish habitat. And so this includes bull kelp and some eelgrass, which is known to be critical habitat for juveniles. So there's more that needs to be explored in this, more that needs to be studied. And so the push to get this project through, to get it approved so that PRGT, whose environmental certificate from the provincial government expires next year, mm-hmm. it's really rushed. And so what we're saying is we need more time to understand the genetic analysis. What are the breakdowns in the conservation units? What is the true climate cost for the whole project, including the pipeline and the gas extraction? So it's really like we need a pause. We need more information and more understanding of this project if it's going to live up to its claims, which are to be, you know, net zero, Indigenous led, environmentally friendly, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And what offices are you working with in order to get this message out?
Sure. So we just learned about this sort of really formal connection between PRGT and Xelisms when they launched their application. They launched a public review period. And so we looked into it and found that there was potential impacts. At this point, we have not been identified as a participating nation or an affected nation by either the company or the provincial government. And so we just recently wrote to both the company and the provincial government saying, you know, these are our areas of concern. This is some immediate next steps forward to have a better understanding of impacts to Gitniau. And then we would like to potentially either review this project, but at a minimum, pause the provincial EA, because as I've just said, you know, we feel like there's a bit of a rush going on right now to get this approved in time for PRGT's expiration of their environmental certificate. And we also have the UN Declaration now being formally adopted by both provincial and federal governments. And so there's just a real change. And you know, PRGT needs a second look as well. And I think we just learned a lot from the experience of the Wet'suwet'en on the Coastal GasLink pipeline. Mm-hmm. So our chiefs are really concerned about how the Wet'suwet'en have been treated in their own territory by this company. So PRGT is TC Energy, which is the same company that's building Coastal GasLink. We've learned about some infractions, some violations, some release of sediment into spawning locations for salmon, as well as some impacts during the spawning window in their the crossing of some sensitive rivers and streams. And so there's just a lot of new information that really deserves, I would say, a thorough investigation and a much more thoughtful process as opposed to rushing things through, which is currently what we're looking at.
So, I mean, obviously you've done your research. You're so involved and informed about this project. Is there some place that people want to read more? If people want to read more about the impacts of this project, is there a place that you would direct them to go to read and understand the scope of this project as it will affect, yeah, a number of nations and communities in Northern BC?
Sure. So we'll be putting up the information on our website later this week. We're just getting going in terms of informing our members and getting things out on social media. So there's some awareness. There is also the Environmental Assessment Office has their public comment page. And so you can go and actually look and see who has made comments so far and what those concerns are. Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition is also, they've had an open house in Kispeox, and there's some information available on their social media and I think on their website too, but just like that, you know, LNG 101 and what this project means. And many people might be confused thinking this is a new pipeline, but it's actually an old pipeline being brought back to life by a new terminal. So just things like that. I think some people might have some misunderstandings, but that, you know, that this Tsleil-Waututh project, it is Indigenous led. It's, you know, it is being advanced by the Nisga'alizms. So their members, I'm sure, would want to have more information about impacts to fisheries as well. And just generally, you know, the concerns around climate. So people hopefully will get more information and get involved and have their voices heard.
Thank you. I think that's a really good place to end my question portion. But was there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know?
I think I would just say that, you know, that these are linear projects and linear projects in our part of the world are definitely challenging because we have so many multiple First Nations, and some First Nations are hereditary led and some are elected led. And so there's a lot of, yeah, maybe potential confusion around that, but that at the end of the day, there is going to be multiple nations involved in a project like this. And that, you know, if we are going to live up to the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, that free, prior and informed consent should be the requirement for all nations, not just the select few, and that we are all going to be living with the impacts of these projects and we should work together and not in isolation from one another.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Great. Thank you.